What would you pick as Song of the Year? How about Album of the Year? Those choices will get narrowed down on Monday when the Grammy nominees are announced. And as always, there's a huge field of artists and songs from which to choose. So here to give us his predictions for the Grammy nominees is Stephen Thompson, writer and editor at NPR Music. Good to have you with us, Stephen.
It's great to be here.
All right, let's play you in with a very familiar song.
Hello, it's me.
So if you haven't heard this song, you're not living on this planet right now, I think. But can this get nominated for Song of the Year?
This song is not eligible for Song of the Year. It's one of the tricky things about the Grammys is they have this weird window of eligibility that runs from October 1st of the previous year to September 30th of this year. And so any song that came out more recently than that can't be eligible. And so what happens is a lot of the front runners and a lot of the albums that you'll be hearing about as being nominated for Grammys in some cases came out at the end of 2014.
So we're all bored to death with them.
One of the main front runners is the Taylor Swift album 1989, which is so old by pop music standards. It came out in, October of 2014. By the time you get to a telecast in February, we've all been living with, Lynn, I know you personally.
I know all of the Taylor Swift songs. I can probably sing them for you.
There has already been a high-profile album of covers of the album 1989. In some cases, we've been marinating in this music for a year and a half.
Which of the songs from 1989 might get nominated for Best Single, for example?
Yeah, there's Song of the Year and Record of the Year. Uh-huh. And Record, they're very similar categories. Song is more of a composition category. Record is like the complete production. I would say the song Blank Space, which is... was a mammoth hit during the eligibility window, makes sense as the song to represent kind of the hugeness of that record.
I do like that little click, I have to say. One thing I find fascinating about the Grammys is you always see these people walking out with huge piles of Grammys because there's so many categories,
There are a lot of categories. They've winnowed down the categories a little bit. There are fewer than there used to be, but you also get a sense of how much groupthink is at work when you have one artist winning 8 trophies in a field as wide open as popular music. There's so much great stuff to choose from that saying, nope, Taylor Swift is the best, he or she won all the awards, is always kind of silly.
Yeah, well, that gets to the politics of the Grammys, right? Mm-hmm. Who makes these choices? Who nominates? Is it the artists who nominate each other as in the Academy Awards?
Or? No, it's actually industry people. And when you think about the recording industry, you're talking about a lot of industry veterans, in some cases people who've been in the business 40, 50, 60 years. And they're deciding what's best in popular music that is most widely consumed by people half their age, a third their age. And so you do have some interesting politics at work. Sometimes there's a certain amount of, here's an artist who's worked with a million other people and is very popular in the business. The Grammys have a way of kind of choosing ambassadors in each genre and then kind of over-rewarding them a little bit. Like Foo Fighters is the official rock band of the Grammys. Kendrick Lamar is, I think, going to be the official hip-hop artist of the Grammys for years to come, where he's going to win an enormous amount of Grammys for many years to come because he has a nice mix of popular support and critical support and industry support.
Now, we can't listen to all of his music because, we just can't on radio. But
right.
Let's see if we can hear something.
King culture, everybody want to cut their legs off. King culture. Black man taking no losses.
Oh, yeah.
Where you and I was walking. Now I run the game, got the whole world talking. Ego to everybody wanna cut the legs off.
The record that Kendrick Lamar is very likely to be up for a bunch of awards for this year is called To Pimp a Butterfly. And it's like 80 minutes long, and it is this absolutely huge, sprawling, frustrating, masterful album that works as a complete, thought-out piece of work. It's sure to be up for Album of the Year. It's certainly one of my albums of the year.
So that's one of the really big categories, right? What are the other nominees possible for Album of the Year?
There are a couple of rock records that I would expect to see. One by Foo Fighters, which is just a Grammy favorite kind of legacy rock band at this point, and a band called Alabama Shakes. They are a band that you're going to see have a very, very big presence, more than people expect.
And they're a really interesting band, aren't they?
They're a great band. They're one of the best live bands I've seen. They're led by this woman named Brittany Howard, who is a force of nature. She just comes out and dominates on stage. And the record they put out called Sound and Color, there's all these weird textures to it. And it's another kind of bold statement that I could see the Grammys going for as a nice mix of critical acclaim and popular accessibility.
So are there any other possible dark horse candidates out there?
There's very likely to be some surprises on Monday morning, but there's also the phenomenon, especially with the Grammys, that I like to humbly call Thompson's Law, which is that you can always bet on the most boring possible outcome. Uh-huh. I think that's true in politics, and I think it's true in awards shows, where if there are any, like, grand surprises, they're more likely to be like, how did the Don Henley record get nominated for Album of the Year? You know, so the Grammys will often surprise you in the least surprising possible ways.
But wait, there's another dark horse you've mentioned to me, and that is the album for Hamilton, which I think would be really surprising if it got nominated, but great if it got nominated.
Yeah, that production is taking Broadway by storm, but the album has captured people's imagination in ways that would seem to cross over. I think it's a long shot to be nominated for Album of the Year, but it's the kind of thing that is this amazing representation of a format that I think a lot of industry veterans are really happy to see coming back.
Well, speaking of long shots, one of the great songs from that is called My Shot. Let's listen to that.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'ma get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dag, I'm amazed and astonished. The problem is I got a lot of brains, but no polish. I gotta holler just to be heard with every word. I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough.
Well, if none of these predictions for the Grammy nominations come true, maybe one or two of them will show up on your list of 2015's best tunes.
Yeah.
Over the next few weeks, we should tell our listeners, NPR Music is unveiling their favorite albums and songs, and we think that's going to be better than the Grammy nominations.
I think so, too.
And
you can
go to nprmusic.org to see what they've chosen. Stephen Thompson, thanks so much. It was fun talking to you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Do 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 do